Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
San Francisco and Odyssey Station. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking. No compromises. Dave Stewart is going to join us here coming up momentarily as we get you up until 2 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. We got Warriors Live coming up at 3:30 as well. The Warriors are back at it against the Cleveland Cavaliers, second of the back-to-back as they get the win in OKC last night. On to Cleveland for that ball game later on this afternoon, Dibs.
Yeah, and I think I just want to add one piece to this, JD, and it's something I have been thinking about, and it's the predictability of action. In a football game, you see the play clock. It's 12, 11. You know in 10 seconds something is going to happen. In baseball, you really have to watch every pitch because you never know when something's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's a great point as well. Let's get to our guest. It's a pleasure to be joined by Dave Stewart, A's analyst currently in NBC Sports California on their pre and post game coverage. Two-time World Series champion, A's legend as well. Dave Stewart joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Stu, thanks a lot for coming on. We always appreciate it.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you guys always thinking about me.
Yeah, definitely. No question. And, we were having two separate conversations, really, Stu. Obviously, with Jackie Robinson Day today and the decline in African-American baseball players in the majors and obviously in management and different categories really across the board. But then we're also having a separate conversation about just the game from a broader scope and just getting young people interested in the game. On this day, where do you see where things stand and how things can improve?
Well, as far as African-American players and our young African-American kids get involved in the game, I can only reflect back to when I was a kid coming up in the game and how I learned to love the game. And that came from being around my father. My father, every opportunity and chance that he had to get me to the ballpark to watch a baseball game, he did it. At the time I was a kid growing up, we watched the San Francisco Giants. There were no Oakland A's. Willie Mays was the player that I idolized and wanted to be like. They had, at that time, they had Willie McCovey. They had Jim Ray Hart. They had the Alou brothers, Jesus, Matty, and Felipe Alou, all three Alou brothers, and then following them was Bobby Bonds. And I mean, there was just a slew of players that I could watch and that I grew to idolize in the game, not to mention Bob Gibson with the St. Louis Cardinals. You can always pick a player from any team in the major leagues that you wanted to be like or you wanted to emulate. My love for the game came from my father. And then, after that, you've got to, at this point in time, and I was thinking about this closely, the only black player that I can think of, superstar player, is Mookie Betts. And then I'm hard pressed to think of who's the next superstar player in Major League Baseball, black superstar player in Major League Baseball. Mookie Betts is the first name I can think of. then I'm hard pressed to figure out who the next guy is. And so, how do we fix that? It's a tough question to answer. But if I reflect back to when I was a kid, you know, seeing players on the field at the major league level really helps black kids to understand that they're accepted in the game and that they can play the game. But if you're like me and I'm an adult, let's imagine what it's like for a young kid that watches very little baseball, that turns it on every now and then, and then you've got to you flip channel after channel to find a black player on the field, and finally you get to the Dodgers and there's Mookie Betts. What would make a young black player or a young black kid think that this is a sport that he can play? When you look at basketball, they're all over the court. And when you look at football, they're all on the football field. But in baseball, the numbers of black players per team, it's minimal. And so it's a difficult task to have kids understand, black kids to understand that this is a game that you can play and you're accepted.
Well said, Stu. I was just sharing with the fellas here the other night. I'm flipping back between, like I do every night, the Giants and A's, and it dawned on me that I didn't see myself represented. There wasn't a lot of color, but Stu, I know when I'm not wanted. I didn't feel like baseball's doing something as a whole not to invite more black baseball players. And that's what I want to ask you. We're in a microwave society now, and everything has to be fast. And I shared with the fellas, do you think it might be technology to where they just don't have the attention span to enjoy and the essence of the beautiful aspects of baseball?
Well, I think understanding baseball is obviously getting out, watching the game being played, and having somebody that can understand, having somebody that can explain the strategy of the game. That's how you understand the game, and that's how you develop a love for the game. In this day and time, I think baseball, if it's understood at all, if it's played at all, is by video game, quite frankly, which is how all sports are played. Most kids get in front of a video game, and if they're going to play the sport, they play the sport. The kids that really love to play the sport, they carry it from the video game onto the court, to the football field, and to the baseball field. But we're just in a period of time when baseball is not the quickest played sport. It's not the most excitement-filled game. And so it's difficult to get a kid to get out with technically all major sports take someplace between 3 hours or 4 hours to play. But baseball seems like it really takes 3 or 4 hours, whereas basketball and football, they give the appearance that they are played in a quicker period of time.
Is there any way to change baseball to make it more exciting, more action-packed, without altering the fundamental nature of the sport? We've seen the Atlantic League talking about moving the mound back. There's been talk about lowering the mound and making it so there's more action in baseball. Is there any fix that you foresee that could come about that wouldn't alter the very fabric of the sport?
Well, all the things that make people enjoy the game of baseball in today's game have to do with scoring runs. They have to do with home runs. Those are the things that make the game exciting for the average fan. But if you're scoring runs, then guess what? The game's not going to be just a three-hour game. It can turn into a three-and-a-half-hour game, and you're still going to lose fans. So, you know, Major League Baseball, I know they're making a grand effort at trying to make the sport more exciting, and making it more fan-friendly. And it's just I think that it's a tough task when you're putting it on the powers that be in baseball to get people to enjoy the sport. The game is different now, much different than when I played it, much different when Willie Mays was in the game and Bob Gibson were in the game. Now, there's no doubt about that. It's not played, in my opinion, as quick a pace as the games were then. Somebody asked me the other day, was the quickest game I ever pitched? It's 2 hours and 1 minute. So we're definitely not playing games at that pace. I, quite frankly, don't know what you do to get people in the game to enjoy the game and keep the game at a quicker pace. That you're battling uphill to try to accomplish all those things.
Dave Stewart joining us here on 95.7 The Game. It's funny. I mean, in the strikeouts and the walks and the emphasis on the home run, I mean, that all plays into it as well. I mean, as you go back, contact was more a part of the game. Movement, right? Ground ball to short, guys trying to beat it out, stolen bases. Now it's all about walk, strikeout, home run, things that typically take longer to play out.
Well, strikeouts actually make the game quicker. And to be honest, if you wanted to speed the game up, and I'll say this 1,000 times, if you want the game to be a quicker game, then the best way to do that is to call the strike zone by the letter of the law, which is at the letters and to the knees. And if you call the strike zone by that letter of the law, if you called your strike zone exactly to that, then you're going to see more strikeouts, but you're also going to see less offense, and you're going to see quicker games.
Stu, great stuff. We really appreciate it. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks a lot.
Man, thanks for having me on. And I actually sent out a message on Twitter not long ago that, I appreciate you guys having me on, but this is Jackie Robinson Day, and I look around at my family and my community and the things that I've been able to do because of baseball, and it all starts with the fact that Jackie Robinson broke the barriers to get me in this game and to be able to get me involved in this game. And, all I can say is thank you, Jackie, and thank you for being the man that you were.
Yeah, well said, Stu. We really appreciate it. And, yeah, your tweet was very just very appropriate and on point considering the day. Thanks again.
All right, you guys. Have a great day.
All right, Dave Smoke Stewart joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Let's give away some cash. All right, time for the Splash for Cash contest. Here's your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word VIRTUAL to 72881. That's VIRTUAL to 72881, brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware, Patio, Garden, and more at Osh.com. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. Good stuff there from Dave Stewart, as always. We keep him short here because we have to, but one of those conversations, Goo, where it feels like you could talk to him for a half an hour about everything that's going on in the game.
Yeah, and he's one of the best to ever do it, Dibs, and he sees what we see. And, again, it's all about the remedy, man. And it's a hard, remedy. It's a hard fix, as they say, and I just don't even know where to start, man.
Yeah, hashtag Black Crows remedy. It's not as easy as, getting more kids involved in the game. Part of it, too, is the lack of facilities and fields in our inner cities. I think about Oakland and, many of the parks now in Oakland where kids could go and just play, you've got homeless encampments. And I think about Mosswood Park right there on Broadway and MacArthur. And you can't just, if you live near there, you can't just grab your glove with your kid and go down there and play ball because you've got, 200 to 250 people living there, which is a whole nother issue. So it's facilities, it's accessibility, it's the nature of the sport. It's not an easy fix to try to get more young people involved in baseball.
All right. We've got Jeopardy's coming up at about 12:48. We'll continue this conversation straight ahead, and that's all sponsored by Network Capital Funding.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring Sean.
That's a problem.
Dickinson.
Rolling along here on a Thursday, we do have Jeopardy coming up toward the end of the hour here at about 12:48, guys. And some people that do want to talk about our conversation on the phone lines, Dibs, 888-957-9570 with respect to baseball. Quick thought before we get to the phones, guys?
It's about baseball and how to fix it or the relative nature of what we're looking at from a
Yeah.
From a racial standpoint? Which way are we going here, JD?
I think it's lack of diversity and also lack of popularity. I think we've got, you know, we kind of hit both with Stu, and I think, you know, people on the phone lines wanted to get into both of those.
Yeah, I think that the popularity, it's a tough one because this pandemic hurt baseball the most, because baseball thrives on attendance. You get 81 home games, and if you average 20,000 fans, that's 1.6 million views for your sport. And, you know, if you're the A's and you get 20,000 roughly, that's about what you're looking at. And if you're the Giants and you get 30,000, well, now you're talking about 2.4 million times that, and I know it's not 2.4 million different people, but baseball is more about going to the game, and that's where you fall in love with it. Baseball on TV, it's a tougher watch because you've got, you know, 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes between innings, and with the clicker in your hand, and I'm glad I found my remote control in the earlier segment, but you're flipping around, and, you know, you might go half an hour, 45 minutes without a run or without a base runner or without action, and, you know, it just kind of struck me yesterday, JD, when we had a perfect game in progress. And, you know, you're following social media after the show and you see the alert. Oh, man, we got a perfect game going. This is special. There hasn't been a perfect game in a long time. And yet you go to try to find live breaking news coverage of it on ESPN, which is, you know, the number one sports television outlet, and you can't even find it. They didn't even join it live. So even a remarkable once-in-a-lifetime accomplishment in the making wasn't being shown on TV. So to me, the popularity question is one that's not an easy fix unless you completely change the very nature of the game. Goo, if you, okay, from now on, it's everybody starts with a 1-1 count, or lower the mound. So the mound, there's no longer a mound. You're just pitching off a rubber. And, seriously, JD, I'm thinking about, these are all dramatic. You know, we can't even start extra innings with a runner on second without people having a conniption fit. We can't even go to a designated hitter structure without people losing their minds. So how are we going to make dramatic changes, Goo, that would really jumpstart a sport that feels more 19th century than it does 21st century?
See, I mean, Dibs, you hit it out the park, but I just want Major League Baseball guys to understand what the problem is. Okay, and I brought it up. There is a lack of color, but the question is why? And it's the popularity of your sport, and that's why I'm down, and I don't think I'm getting back up, because I don't think there is a fix. And I guess where I'm going is, then why are you getting mad for Major League Baseball trying all these crazy, trials that Dibs just spoke of with the 1-1 count? As a lifelong baseball lover, it hurts me and pains me that they're doing this to their sport. But again, at the end of the day, they keep striking out. And where I'm going, JD, and I could be sounding hypocritical here, would be the first time is, I mean, leave it as is. And if you are not attractive, just, you know, be secure in yourself and your being in your sport and leave it as is. But don't make these changes and still have everything that we talk about you're lacking. And if you're not popular, you're never going to be popular, JD and Dibs. You're never going to get that back, unless you change the sport. And you're not going to do that. So that's what just has me almost ready to cry. Like, it ain't getting fixed anytime soon.
Let's get to True Dimes in San Jose, 888-957-9570. What's up, True Dimes?
What's up, JD? Oh, did I just cut out?
No, you're there.
No, you're good.
We got you.
Y'all hear me? Okay.
Yep.
Good. What's up, y'all? Guru, Biz, now listen to y'all every day. JD, doing great. Thanks for taking my call, y'all. I want to touch on this baseball thing because I loved it as a kid, too. I think it might tie together a little bit as far as the color and the popularity, because when you think about it, when I was a kid, a lot of the big time players were black. Ken Griffey Jr., Frank Thomas, Barry Bonds, the pitchers, not so much, but the game changers behind, like at the plate, they were all colored for the most part that we looked up to. So now that they're faded out, it's harder to grab the youth, you know, from our backgrounds, and along with the iPhones and all that mess, as soon as they get grabbed, as soon as they come out the womb with those, So you have a little bit more to deal with as far as competition if you're baseball. I was thinking, like, football has the punt, pass, and what is it, punt, pass, and kick or something like that. Does baseball have anything like that for the kids? Like, if they start grabbing them young with things like that to show them what the competition is really like and that you can be a game changer in a team sport solo, that might reintroduce the sport, you know, as a pastime to its original place. And that's pretty much all I got to say about baseball, y'all. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Great stuff. Dibs, go ahead.
That's a great point, because if you think about what's gone on in golf, and about maybe 7 or 8 years ago, maybe a little bit more, Goo, they came up with this thing called drive, chip, and putt. It's a contest that plays off of the punt, pass, and kick. You remember punt, pass, and kick when we were kids, and they would always, at the Super Bowl, at like the start of the second quarter, it'd be, it's time to introduce our national champions in the age groups.
Nice. Groups. Yeah.
And then you were a 9-year-old, and you'd look, it's like, ooh, who's, you know, who's the winner, the 9-year-old? And you see the 9 and 10, 10, 10, 10. Winner. Yeah. And I'll stop the bit, but you get it, because they would show you all the age group, and the congratulations to the punt, pass, and kick national champions. And JD, at Augusta, the weekend before the Masters, they have the finals of the drive, chip, and putt. So if you're a youngster who wants to be into golf, you have a chance to make it and play at Augusta. So I think the caller makes a good point about baseball. If they had a throw, catch, and hit, Goo, or maybe a pitch, catch, and hit, maybe that would be something where a youngster could, with their skills, fall in love with the game in that fashion.
Yeah, that's fun, but at the end of the day, Stu mentioned it, JD and Dibs, you still got to face the 3 to 4 hour window, you know what I mean, of the actual game, and test your love.
Yeah, that's a great point, Dibs. I mean, there's so much going on. Like, the things that make the game more entertaining also make the game in some ways more boring because of the length that stretches it out.
Right. To me, the biggest problem with baseball is not the sport itself. It's the downtime. It's the amount of time where, you know, guys, and Stu's right, stepping out of the box, and, you know, the pitcher, it's not the pitching changes. I don't love the new rule. I know why they did it, but to me, that's not the problem. The problem is all of the downtime between the points of action, because when you watch on TV, especially with the K zone, it's interesting. You play umpire when you're watching the game, and you see a pitch. Ooh, that one was outside the square, the rectangle, but he called it a strike. You know, it's easy to follow. And when somebody hits it, it's easy to see if it was fair or foul, or if somebody catches it or doesn't catch it. The action is not the problem with baseball. It's all the inaction, the downtime that baseball has to deal with.
Let's keep it moving here, guys, on the phone lines, 888-957-9570. A lot of people that want to talk. Let's get to Fred in Oakland. Fred is up next here with Steiny, Guru, and Dibs. JD for Steiny here on a Thursday. Hey, Fred.
Hey, fellas. Good afternoon. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good, yeah. And I just want to appreciate you guys for having this open conversation about baseball and diversity and whatnot. I just wanted to piggyback on Guru's comments. I'm glad he brought it up about our local teams and just, you know, not seeing people that remind us of us. I mean, I'm Latino, but, you know, Black and Latino players, I mean, the A's, the last two seasons, their opening lineup, I think, only had two players, diverse players. That was center field and shortstop. And again, this year, same thing, you know. And it's just that you know, it's hard to make a connection. And, you know, I know Billy Beane, Bob Melvin, you know, they love their white players. That's fine. I get that. And there's some good ones out there, Olsen and Chapman. But, you know, a lot of them are mediocre players. And I know there's on the bench and also in the minor leagues, they have some good Latino and Black players there, especially the young kid who showed out during spring training this year. Was playing right field. I can't remember his name. But he was, you know, making catches and doing everything. I guess he got hurt or something. But my thing is, I grew up, I went to OAL. I played for Oakland High and played with Lloyd Mosby back in the day. But I remember OAL being, when we traveled to play Fremont High, there was mostly Latino players there. And these were like, They were full squads. Castlemont, Oakland Tech, McClimates, they had predominantly African-American players, and we all got along, and it was diversity. And whenever we had to go play out in Concord or San Ramon High, then it was mostly, you know, white players. But everybody kind of, we all kind of fit in, and we all saw each other. The A's had, you know, Billy North, Reggie Jackson, Campy Campaneris. You know, I grew up seeing those players, and so the attraction was there, the motivation was there to learn the game and play it. And I remember, I don't know if you guys remember, before the game of the week, they used to have on Saturdays, they used to have a show, a pregame show with where they had ball players, popular ball players, showing fundamentals to kids. And they had like three or four kids that they have on the show, and yeah, a certain player would be showing them fundamentals and how to bunt and do things like that. And that's what's lacking in the game today. You know, there's nobody's button. There's no double steals. Right. I remember there used to be double steals all the time, stealing bases, hit and run. Now it's just home runs, walks, and strikeouts. Somebody gets on base and just sit there and post up until somebody gets a home run or hits an extra base. And that's, that doesn't captivate people anymore. And I think that's what's needed. And so I just wanted to say that and put that out there, and hopefully because when we came up, like I said, it was, we see players, and like the gentleman said earlier, Ken Griffey and Frank Thomas and you know, all those players that but, you know, even the pitchers back then, Catfish Hunter, Ken Holtzman, those were white players, but we still liked them. They were popular with us, you know, and they had talent, you know. The players now are kind of like sub 200 players, and, you know, it's just like, okay, where's the diversity?
Thanks, Fred.
Thank you, Fred.
We appreciate the
Baseball
the call.
Bunch
ahead,
was the show with Johnny Bench. Yeah. Remember the Baseball Bunch? Brought to
San
you by
Diego
Krylon.
Was in there.
No runs, no drips, no errors. And Whitey Gleason, host of Jockperty, actually sent us a thread for an event that they have. It's called Pitch, Hit, and Run. And it's sponsored, presented by the MLB Network. So I don't know if that's if that's damning that they actually have it and none of us really knew about it, JD, because, you know, pitch, hit, and run. I don't know why the fielding aspect isn't in there, but I had never heard of this contest until Whitey had sent that along.
I had not, and I'll be honest, I can't remember ever even seeing a promo for it, and I watch MLB Network basically, like, I'm the outlier. I'm watching MLB Network every day, at least at some point, so to never have seen that. It's incredible, Dibs.
And I'm watching Golf Channel right now, and they're scrolling on the bottom, you know, drive, chip, and putt. Qualifications are coming up. They just had this past national championship, but already they're pimping for signups for the next, you know, you go local, regional, you know, state, then regional qualifiers, etc. So I think that's part of it. But for me, guys, it's goo. It's the very nature of the sport, which is anathema or runs counter to what we're doing with our kids nowadays, because, you know, everybody gets a trophy and everybody gets a turn. And, you know, when I played Little League, even when I was playing at the lower levels, you played 1 through 9. You didn't bat everyone. Well, now everyone gets a turn. Even if you're not playing in the field, you know, everybody gets a crack at it.
S-O-F-T.
It is, Mr. Whitner, and I appreciate you saying so, but baseball's a game of failure, and our society doesn't do failure anymore. We do, everybody gets a trophy. So it kind of, Guru, in my opinion, it's a tough sell because baseball's a hard game.
I'm going to say this real quick, guys. I'm lucky to have 8 good friends that I went to junior high school with that I'm still friends now. We got a vine, a thread, and they listen to the show every day. And when we talk baseball, it's 8 text messages I get like, we're out. And I'm saying, like, how do I fix that? How can I fix it? Because it's not just them, but think of Monday Night Football. What does MLB have to combat that? And I remember Joe Garagiola, if I pronounced it correctly, back in the day, Saturday baseball. And that's gone. Baseball doesn't have that dedicated day. If you were trying to pimp or sell your sport, football took over all through the week, and it works. But what's baseball doing, JD and Dibs? It's like they're behind the times in the promotion of their star players outside. And I'll give them credit. Fernando Tatis has been on my TV. He's been at some of these award shows. So I was like, okay, the kids are identifying with him. But other than that, it's just been quiet on the set, and that's killing them.
Yeah, Sunday Night Baseball is their big anchor property, but it's Yankees and Red Sox. And I don't even know if they're playing this Sunday, but when I think Sunday Night Baseball, I think Yankees and Red Sox. And part of the problem, I think, JD, is that the stars in baseball, first of all, they don't promote them. And Major League Baseball does a terrible or even an embarrassing job of promoting its content. There's no such thing as MLB Twitter, but there's NBA Twitter.
See,
if something
amazing.
Happens in the NBA, Goo, if something happens in the NBA, you go on Twitter and that content is all over your feed. The Luka
like
Doncic,
at a party. Yeah,
the one-legged stanky three that hit last night, I saw 87 times to Sunday.
Why is that though? But my question is that on MLB specifically?
Yes.
Because
yes,
okay, because MLB tweets out highlights and
no,
things
do,
all
JD.
The time, and because that's a question: is it MLB or is it those that cover MLB?
I don't think it's MLB. Why do you say that? You're JD, great point.
No,
man.
Kyle's
there's a
jump
nuance
in
there.
And echo the sentiment. Yeah. And the nuance is that MLB controls its content; they have a proprietary control over it. The NBA. They don't care. If Luka hits a one-legged three, you can share it, and then I share it, and I tell two friends, and then you tell two friends, and so on and so on. Major League Baseball has its own arm of media, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kyle, but they control the flow of all their own content. And, you know, like if Kyle, who's wearing a Pirates hat, if he wants to tweet out something from the Pirates game today, they're taking that down.
Yeah, they will come after your Twitter account if I post a highlight. The same way, who is it on Twitter? Worldwide Wob, who's just gotten super popular by cell phone videoing his TV screen. MLB would come after me for that. That's in 2021. That's not the way to spread word that your game is awesome.
Okay, Good point. Fair enough. Let's keep it moving on the phones. David in San Francisco's up next. David, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, I have a question. You guys are talking about the lack of minorities playing, African Americans playing, but there's still white players playing, there's still a bunch of Latin players playing, Asian players playing, and you're not addressing the issue. The fact of the matter is that they're not trying to attract them. They're the scouts, the colleges, the front offices are filled with white people. That's it, and they're attracting the game to white kids in America. Basically, the travel squads, everything else, there's no little leagues, you go to the inner city, there's none of that. MLB tried to put out the RBI, and you look at the RBI, I've been in professional baseball for 20-some years, and RBIs are more of the Hispanic, Mexican players that are playing, they're not African-Americans. Address the issue. The issue is the fact of the matter is Major League Baseball is successful, and they don't really care. It's the bottom line. Let's get real. You're looking at all other stuff. You're talking about that Guru had the audacity to talk about the reason why we might not be playing because the attention span and the video games, which is astonishing that he would even say something like that. But address the issue. They're still playing baseball. Okay, it's not like there's the numbers have declined in the number of players that are playing. They're playing. It's just
so hold up real quick. Let me handle this. Hey, so are you sitting here calling this station saying the young black men are looking at baseball like they want to play? My point was it's not attractive to them. And you want to pick up the phone? I don't care how many years you played. If you're telling me you don't agree with that, then we don't need to speak to you because you would be lying. Baseball is not attractive to young black men. Do you agree with that or not?
The issue is, why isn't it?
No, I asked you a question. Answer the question. I asked you a question. You can simple yes or no. Is it attractive to young black men?
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Don't you? Because you ain't played enough. I listen to you. You're on here. You're a fan. That's it. The knowledge is very little. Very little. So you're talking about the attraction. They're not attracting to them because they don't play. And they don't play is why. They don't have little leagues. They have travel squads. Why is that? They have to pay for it.
Missing my point. Yeah. Anyway.
Thanks, David. Appreciate the call. Guog, we'll give you the final word on that.
He is acting like Major League Baseball is doing something to turn young black kids away from the sport. I disagree with that. It's my opinion. And That's what it is. I have two teenage sons. They think baseball is boring. Now, was there some merit to what he was saying? I'm sure. But come on, man. Don't tell me I'm sitting up here, you know, misidentifying why young blacks aren't gravitating to the sport of baseball.
I think one point he made is apt in that there aren't a lot of African-Americans who are managers, who are GMs, team presidents, etc. And you look at, you know, the NFL, and we're always critical of the Rooney Rule, and it is deeply flawed. But if you are a young African-American, you can look at the NFL and see head coaches who look like you, or you see GMs who look like you. In baseball, you don't have that many. Dusty Baker is certainly one, but you don't have a ton of, I think, and that's one of the points that he was trying to make. As to the nature of the excitement of the sport, I think you're onto that, Goo, and that goes across all races. And I think about my son, who is almost 18, and he's a big-time sports fan, but I can't get him to watch a whole baseball game. He's just not interested. The pace of it is not great. And, J.D., I always talk a lot about soccer, and something that I said earlier in the show I'm going to stand behind, and it's the certainty of action. Because you watch a soccer game, and in the graphic in the corner is the clock that's counting up. And you know that after 45 minutes, plus a couple minutes for added time, if there's an injury or a goal celebration, you know that it's going to be halftime. So you can slot yourself in, and you know with certainty that, okay, 45 minutes, I'll watch the first half, I'll commit to that. Football, the play clock, you know in 8, in 7, you see him at the line of scrimmage, you know something's going to happen. In the NBA, you've got a clock, and there's a flow to it. The ball's constantly in play. Baseball, you don't have any certainty of action. So if you want to invest yourself in a game, you don't know if you're going to get fulfillment because, you know, baseball, it could happen on any one pitch, or nothing can happen on any one pitch. And I think that's partly in this short attention span era in which we're raising our kids. That's a hard one for baseball to get over.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and it's a great conversation, and it's one, you know, worth having for sure, and worth continuing throughout the days here on this show, on other shows. So we'll do that. But first, we're going to get to Jeopardy. That's what's coming up next here as Whitey Gleason will join us, and we'll play Jeopardy. That's all sponsored by Network Capital Funding.